especially when we're trying to cover our sin. We will go, instead of just simply coming to Jesus and saying, I'm so sorry, I messed up, help me. We will go to the end of the earth to cover our sin and try to maintain our reputation in the eyes of other people. That's what Herod did. He compromised. Okay, so here we go. Big day comes. It's Herod's birthday. Everybody celebrate. Yay! It's Herod's birthday. And all the influential people are there. All the big names have come. The rich people, the noblemen, the influential people. He had military commanders there. Men who had at least 1,000 soldiers under them. That's what the word in the Greek means there. Military commanders. And these guys were all carrying on and partying like rock stars, getting drunk, eating and drinking and carousing and carrying on, laughing and celebrating. And at the height of their celebration, when everybody is all drunk and happy, all of a sudden, here comes the daughter of Herodias. Salome walks in, and she is dressed to kill, probably undressed to kill. And she begins to dance this seductive dance. Who do you think, by the way, who do you think put her up to it? Mom, of course, but of course. She begins to dance this seductive dance until these guys are just drooling all over themselves. And she's weaving this web, and they're falling headfirst into this web. And until it reaches a point where they are completely captivated, they are utterly, drunkenly taken in by this woman dancing in front of them. And Herod, between his lust and his ego and his pride, basically stabs himself in the back with his own tongue. Guys, we do that so easily. If any man can tame his tongue, he stabs himself in the back with his own tongue and he says to her, Salome, well, ask whatever you want and it is yours, up to half of my kingdom. Quite a dance. That was quite a dance. And I think Mom knew her husband pretty good. So Salome goes right back to Mom, makes a beeline straight back to Mom and says, what do I ask for? And what does Mommy tell her to ask for? Anybody? The head of John the Baptist. And that's exactly what she did. She marches right back in. Now, you know, if she had simply said the head of John the Baptist, he could have said, okay, well, you know, 20 years from now when he dies, you know, and they bury him, I'll go ahead and give you his head. Or he could have just come in and said, you know, here you go. But she says, I want the head of John the Baptist. I want it now, and I want it on a platter. So there is no getting around what she is demanding from Daddy. And I'll bet you could hear a pin drop in the palace. Everybody's drunk. They're laughing. They're carrying on. She says, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter, and I want it now. And I'll bet you could hear a pin drop in that place as everybody puts their eyes, every eye is on Herod to see what he's going to do. And what do you do? What do you do? She had him locked up. If you give her what she wants, if you're Herod and you give her what she wants, you're going against your very conscience. Something inside of you is afraid of this guy. You know if you do this, man, there is no turning back. You have messed up. You have done something terrible. And not only that, you're going to go against the multitude that you're afraid of out there. You could have rebellion and treason and insurrection on your hands. But Herod had a problem, and that was that Herod was also afraid of not only John and the multitude, he was afraid of his political peers. He was afraid of everybody else at the party. All these rich, influential people, they are looking at him. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a man or are you going to wimp out? Are you going to show some leadership? Are you going to show us to be the fearless king? Or are you going to cower before this woman? And he was afraid of them. So what do you do when you're Herod? Tormented by fear. Remember, some of these guys are military commanders. They could lead a coup against him. Darlene. Yeah, he's not in that. Darlene, I don't think even I could have come up with that one. That's why you make the big bucks, dear. What do you do? I mean, you saw Herod the Great, he had six sons. All of these kings, all these guys coveted what the other guys had. In fact, they would be willing to... One of the guys even eventually turned in one of his other brothers and had him in order to get his land away from him. So if you show any weakness at all, you're setting yourself up for an overthrow. They could come and kill you. So what do you do? Do you show yourself a weak man, or do you man up and go ahead and execute a prophet of God for the sake of this girl? Well, what did he do? He had the Baptist killed because he was afraid of the opinions of other people. He was afraid of what other people would say about him. And so he killed a prophet of God to escape what they might say. Do you want to know the irony of this whole story? Because we're getting to the close here. The irony of this whole story is that he did the unthinkable thing, severed the head of the man, brought the bloody head on a platter and gave it to the girl. He did that to keep from losing his kingdom. You want to know the utter irony of this story? Later on in life, he lost it all anyway. Later on in life, he lost everything because what happened was years down the road, he started conspiring with this guy, the king of Parthia, against the emperor Caligulus. And one of his brothers found out about it and ratted him out to the emperor. The emperor found out about it, he took his kingdom away, he took all of his money, took all of his wealth, and he banished Herod and his wife Herodias to France and said, get out of the country, left with nothing in his pockets. He lost everything anyway. That's what sin does to you. It will lie to you, it will steal from you, and it will destroy you. Praise God. Everything he sold his soul to keep, he lost anyway. You know what Jesus said? What does it? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Do you know who the winner in this story is? Who do you think is the winner of this story? John the Baptist. That is the winner in this story. That man was fearless. He did whatever God told him to do. He said whatever God said he should say, regardless of the cost to his own life or to his own comfort. John the Baptist was the real winner. He would not back down, even though it cost him prison and his own life. And you know what's really cool? Not long after John the Baptist was executed, guess who came strolling through the doors of eternity holding the keys of death and hell in his hands, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Who was it? Jesus. John the Baptist was the real winner because the first guy that came to visit him after he was gone was the guy who came to conquer sin and death anyway. Praise God. Why should we be afraid? When we look at all these fears, and some of these, man, I sympathize with you. Clowns, are you kidding me? Spiders, snakes. But why should we be afraid of what man will say about us? Why should we ever fear being rejected by man when we have an amazing, incredible God in the heavens who loves us unconditionally and has made us accepted in the Beloved? Why should we fear what man can say or do when God has said that all things work together for our good? Why should we fear what man can say or do when God has said that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us? Even if they deliver us like lambs to the slaughter, we are more than conquerors. Why should we fear what man can say or do? Because like we were singing a few moments ago, God says that if He is for us, who in this world can be against us? Why should we fear what man can say or do when God says that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate you from His love that is in Christ Jesus? Why should we spend a moment or a second of our lives? Why should we waste it being afraid of what somebody out there is going to think of us when our daddy, our God, says He loves us with an everlasting love? Amen. Amen. We ought to take every little shred of fear that we have of what somebody might think about us because of our love for Jesus Christ. We ought to just make up our minds. We're going to rip it apart right now and we're going to throw it away. It has no place in our life. How many people want to make that decision today? How many people want to say, I am tired, I am sick and tired of worrying what somebody is going to say about my relationship with my daddy. I love my dad. I'm going to live for him. I would invite you to come up and take a piece of this paper and just shred it and throw it away. Just as a prophetic sign to say, I am done with the fear of man. I am living for God from now on. You are welcome to come up. Just take this thing, rip it in half, and chuck it away. Praise God. There you go. Yes, ma'am, Tori. Rip that sucker. Yes, ma'am. Bob, come on up. Get some of this action and pass it on to somebody else. There you go. Yes. Save some pieces to pass on to other folks. Yeah. Missy, go ahead and tear some of that. Rip it up and toss it. Amen. Just and then chuck a little piece of it away. I'm done. I'm shredding it. It's over with. No longer. I am stomping on that thing. I am grinding it into dust and crushing it beneath my feet. I no longer care what man says about me because I only care what my Father says about me. And He says He loves me. Praise God. That's worth living for. That's worth getting up in the morning to embrace. That gives you hope. It gives you life. It gives you joy when things are going wrong. It gives you peace when everybody else is afraid. I don't have to fear because the very one who loves me infinitely is also the very one who has the power to back it up. He is in control of everything in my life. He is my sufficiency. He is my provision. He is my covering. He is my banner over me. Amen. Anybody else want to rip something up, man, and give it right back to the devil where it came from? All right, then we ought to close this thing out with a little bit of prayer and praise, man. Come on up here, Tom. Let's get loud for the Lord. He is worth celebrating. I'm finished with the fear of man. I am living for Jesus Christ, and I don't care who likes it or who doesn't like it. He is my all in all. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is the one who bought me with His own blood, and I am not ashamed of Him. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are worth shouting about, Lord. You alone, God, are worth celebrating. You are our all in all. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when we get done, if you have any prayer needs at all, man, we would be delighted to pray with you. But right now, we're just going to get loud for the Lord. Amen.